Support for GLT's Grow comes from Wendell Niepegan Greenhouses, a huge selection of plants, gardening tools, and lawn and garden advice at Wendell Niepegan's on Fox Creek Road in Bloomington, where you're more than a customer, you're a friend. Details at niepegans.com. This is GLT.
A community garden offers lots of opportunities for those interested in stewardship, community involvement, and just plain fun gardening. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field. From the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences, it is Patrick Murphy. Hello there, Murph.
Hi, Laura. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you here. Today on GLT's Grow, Murph talks about what's involved with community gardens.
Community gardens are pretty cool, folks. I'm telling you, there's people getting together out there and having a good time and kind of cutting the edges off their grocery bill.
Yeah, because you can grow anything you want in a, well, within reason in a community garden.
You can. You know, most community gardens are ones that produce vegetables and fruits and things like that. There are community gardens that are naturalized gardens. They're even here in this community. But generally speaking, they are places where land has been set aside or reserved or even offered, volunteered to use that space to grow vegetables, fruits, fruit trees, all the above. Where they differ is in their location and their vigor. And there's also some etiquette involved in participating in the community gardens.
Okay. Now, I got a question. Are all community gardens, like, open to everybody, or are there some of them private, or how does that work?
They are both, Laura. Yeah, some are private, and some are there for all of us to enjoy.
Okay.
The ones that are there for all of us to enjoy have some etiquette that we all need to be aware of.
So what's that etiquette?
You got to work to eat.
Well, that makes sense to me.
Right? So that's the simple thing. That's kind of the golden rule in these ones that are shared by the public. And I've been fortunate enough to see them all over the place. And the first one that comes to my mind is one in Silverthorne, Colorado, that I was visiting while on a Thanksgiving vacation.
Mm-hmm.
What's growing in Silverthorne in November?
Marijuana?
Not much.
Okay.
Not much, yeah. But they still had some leaf crops there and the little low domes or these little tiny handmade greenhouses. So they had vegetable crops, and they even had some Brussels sprouts still hanging around.
Okay.
But they also had a sign-in sheet. They had a tool shed with a lock on it.
Oh.
And they had a camera. Now, whether the camera was working or not, I cannot confirm or deny.
But they want to make sure that the people who are taking items from the garden are people who have invested in the garden by growing these plants and putting the work into it, not just some schmo who pulls up and says, yeah, I think I'll take some of those Brussels sprouts.
That's right, Laura. I don't think there's any, I've never met anyone that's went on a garden tour, you know, just to go round up groceries. I think the people that are involved in building the garden and using it are the folks that typically get first whack at taking the stuff home to enjoy or share with others. But I can say that there are places where you can go and stake your claim, you know, like a prospector out in the old West. You can go and say, this is my area, and I'm going to grow these things here. And I can share some tools and some soil and compost and watering stuff with all the other people that are sharing this plot.
You know, and I've seen community gardens where they not only have nice stuff growing, but they'll put pretty benches and places where you can go and maybe and have your lunch there or just go and enjoy the greenery and do some reading and stuff like that. And so it's not just a place for work and growing, but it's a place for hanging out.
Indeed, indeed. And that's a good segue into another community garden experience I had near Monterey, California.
Ooh.
And it's pretty fabulous there.
Yes, it is.
You know, I mean, my grandma and grandpa's house is a great house, but I didn't know it was worth $500,000 till I went out to Monterey, California.
Well, there you go.
See this little 1,200 square foot house with no basement, half a mil. Well, it's because of the weather and the scenery. It's beautiful year round. And there's a bit of a breadbasket there. You know, you have some really productive soils and lots of reliable rain. So lots of stuff grows there.
Yeah.
And in this near the downtown Cannery Row area where Hemingway spent some time, they have a community garden there. And it was one that was developed by a lot of business owners and homeowners in that area to relieve the pressure of the homeless upon retail.
Wow.
And it was highly effective to the extent that there's some homeless folks maybe hanging out there. Now, that's good and bad. You know, homelessness is something that is not going to be cured by community gardens, but it sure helps keep somebody fed.
Yes.
And if if some people feel like there's a nuisance in panhandling, I think that's a pretty good option, pretty good trade.
Yeah.
We don't get approached for panhandling, and you don't starve to death.
Yeah.
Not bad.
And you learned something useful.
That's right.
And you're making a contribution to your community.
So here in our community, there's a food forest, and this is something that's fairly unique, and it's between the University of Illinois and the local municipality who support it.
You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show. For those who like to get their hands dirty, this week we're talking about community gardens, and we have a forest. What did you call this?
The food forest.
A food forest,
right.
Here in central Illinois.
And this one does not have your typical garden fare, although it could, but at this time the main things that are growing there are raspberries and berry fruits. There's some orcharding going on there, the introduction of fruit-bearing trees, apple trees and such. But there are also hazelnut trees and chestnut trees there.
Oh my goodness!
And they are there to also improve the environment at the same time as kind of creating a situation where there is a forest with edible products in it. This all happens with the planning and expertise of the University of Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And the city of Normal, where Illinois State University is located. And this is a newer feature in our town. This is a location that is one where you could go there, do some work, and realize some of the benefits. Do some work and maybe bring some stuff to share.
Yes.
Do some watering, do some weeding, do some rowing, do some stuff like that.
Well, I have a question, Murph. If you are going to buy yourself a plot in a community garden, what are good things to grow?
I think my personal opinion, and this is anecdotal, but go with the Italian garden complement. So you got your zucchinis and tomatoes and mm-hmm. some peppers.
Mm-hmm. Maybe some herbs as well?
Herbs are great. Thyme, basil, things like that. They can cover the ground. You know, we've talked about Three Sisters gardening. There's some similarities there where you have this population of vegetable-producing plants that love each other's company.
Yeah.
And they can be consumed at the same time.
Oh, that is so cool.
So I think that's what I would start with. Start with something that you know. It's far from home, so it's not a great place to experiment. Starting from seed is a challenge. A lot of times you'd want to start with a plug or, you know, a quart or a gallon size specimen of a tomato or zucchini or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah.
And another good crop for community gardens are melons.
Oh.
They need lots of space and lots of sun.
So if you actually are living in like in a zero lot line and you don't have a lot of land, going to the community garden to grow some melon is a good option for you.
Yeah, and you know why I say melon's good too? It's a great trader.
Uh-huh.
You know what? I'm trading this melon. It takes me both hands to hold it up. How about a couple ears of corn? Now, how about 6 or 10 ears of corn for this melon? So I think that's a good...
That's a good trade right
raging
there.
Raging capitalist point of view. So, and then you could do something like the blueberries and, you know, some of the dessert crops if you want, but you got to
like
watch the
crops.
Birds. Yeah, the birds.
The birds.
Know? And if you're not there all the time, you'd have to scarecrow or net your berries.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something to consider too.
Okay, well, that is great. Murph, thank you so much about talking about community gardens. And just FYI, here in central Illinois, the town of Normal is opening registration for its two popular community gardens coming up the Tuesday, March 15th. And that'll be at 8:30 a.m. for Normal residents only. And non-residents can begin to register on Wednesday, March 16th at 8:30 a.m. So if you want to get involved in a community garden here in central Illinois, that's a great way to get your hands dirty, if you don't mind me putting it that way.
They're going to have to get dirty.
Speaking of which, next week on GLT's Grow, Murph is going to talk about types of soil and how to get yours tested. Now, if you've got a gardening question or problem that you would like Murph to tackle, just go to our website, wglt.org/grow, fill in the form and send it along to us. We would so much love to hear from you, but you got to fill in the form. It's wglt.org/grow.